Saturday night.
Good morning, church. If you come up here and do this, bring fingernails. Okay? You can't turn these things on without fingernails or the ladies' touch. Anyway, good morning again. Nice to have all of you here. Our last Sunday before Christmas. We'll, of course, be having a Christmas Eve service on Thursday night. So that'll be our last opportunity to worship before the Christmas holiday. Hopefully everybody has a bulletin, and in the bulletin you'll see that most of the activities are canceled now, or not canceled, but they're on hold until after the new year. The last thing to happen, I think, after today's service is the youth will meet tonight, and the title of that is Jesus. Wow, that's pretty good. Good timing for that. So at 6 o'clock, the youth group is here at 6 o'clock. Okay. All right. Just to confirm that. Any other announcements I missed? I think everything, like I said, is on hold and is there in your bulletin. If you want to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be reading a couple of verses that will help us prepare ourselves for our worship time and our songs together, singing together. Let me start with verse number 9 in Colossians 3. It says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all." And all the people said after the reading of the word, amen. 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 All right, let's pray together. Want to remind you, of course, before we pray, that if you have the Spirit leads you to participate with us financially in this ministry. The box is in the back. And for those of you who are with us online, you can also contribute online. Let's bow our heads together now. We'll pray together to start our day. Father, we do start our day with our heads bowed and with our knees bowed even, Lord, to you. We know that the heavens declare the glory, your glory, and the firmament shows your power. Lord, we recognize you in this season, this time where we celebrate your coming, your sacrifice, your willingness to come and pay the price for us. We thank you, Lord, that we are still able to worship you, to pray to you, to consider you in our lives, and take that message of Christ's birth, his death, burial, and resurrection. We can take that to our friends and neighbors, those who are with us here today, and those who are watching online. Lord, we do pray, Father, for a blessing upon all of those folks. Ask you to bless our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand with us, church?
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Fall on your knees. King of kings, salvation. Child is born.
singing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
From that time on and forever.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning at El Paso Bible Church. Those of you who are joining with us online, welcome also. Children, you guys can go to Children's Church, and if you don't know where to go, we'll sort you out. But generally speaking, if you're third grade and above, you go this way. See? Everybody that's not in the nursery goes that way. And if you vote, you stay in here. Or if you're going to vote in a short term, right? Let them kind of go that way. Hope you all are doing well. This year has been exhausting, hasn't it? As Daffy Duck used to say, singed, but triumphant. Singed, but triumphant. We're doing all right, but I'm a little tired. This Christmas season has been good. Advent has been good for me. But we are going to pray this morning because, we need to pray every time, but we're going to pray specifically for some things this morning. For our body, for our community, for our country, and righteousness and justice, because we need to do that more than many times we've felt the need to do it. Maybe not more than we've ever needed to, but we recognize it to a greater extent. Let's do that. Join with me. Father, thank you for this day. We do thank you for your grace to us and your sovereignty over all things. Father, we thank you for the perfect right that you possess to rule over all that you have created. And Father, we know that we have no right to question how it is that you choose to do that. All we know is to pray for the things that we understand to be righteous and true and objectively accurate according to your word that you have revealed to us. And it's for those things that we pray. We pray for wisdom and protection for our leaders. We pray for justice and righteousness to prevail. Well, we don't pretend to know all things, but we know the guy who does, and that's you, and we thank you for that. Well, we do pray for those who are ill in our community. We pray for healing. We pray for those who have suffered loss in our circle, in our realm of influence, Father, that you would, through your spirit and through your body, offer them comfort in that time, and it's for as long as it is needed. Father, we ask for the wisdom to know when and where that is needed, and no, that's what you've designed this body to be here on this earth for. And I do pray that these circumstances would serve to turn more to seek knowledge of you and your Son and what he has done for us, that many more would come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of the faithful testimony of the church at this time and in this world, in this place. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you haven't already done it, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We finally finished one sentence. Y'all are laughing. I know your Bible has more sentences than that, but from verse 3 to verse 14 is one sentence, and we finally wrapped it up last week. I feel like that's like a marker that we ought to note somehow. We got through that one sentence, but we're going to read these blessings because we're making a transition today. But I want to remind us, especially at this time where we look forward to celebrating the incarnation of God the Son becoming human so that he could suffer in all ways as a human, that he would empty himself and taking the form of a bondservant, that he would take on this ministry willingly because of his love for us and the many, many blessings it provides for us. I don't want us to forget that as we transition to a slightly different topic this morning. So if you would, look with me in your text at verse 1 of chapter 1. If you don't have a text with you, there's probably one in the pew in front of you. Or can you look on with your neighbor with COVID around? Probably not. Just listen then. All right. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. Verse 15 is a transition, as I said, from things that Paul is saying, hey, we all ought to give thanks for this, these things. We ought to never forget these things. This is front and center in the very first introduction of this book, and he transitions from there to being a statement in verse 15, and we'll read it here in a second, of the thanks that we all ought to give for the specific thanks that Paul gives for the church at Ephesus. Now, he says some things here that he doesn't necessarily say about all the other churches, and we make this point. We went through 1st and 2nd Corinthians not that long ago, and at the beginning we said, now listen, y'all got to remember, Corinth is not Ephesus. Corinth is not Ephesus, and nothing comes to be understood more clearly that the churches had different characteristics, different personalities. Some of them had substantially more maturity in them than others. Some of them made much more wiser decisions than others. But why does Paul give thanks for the church at Ephesus? For this reason, I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Now you got to remember that Ephesus is written and Paul is sitting in a prison cell. It's a prison epistle. I've never asked somebody if they could relate with that this year. Can you relate? Being stuck in your house by a governmental authority, can't step outside without permission, at least not between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. on specified days, etc., etc., etc. I hope you spent some of that time praying a little more. I hope also some of the time was spent not complying, but we won't go there. It's given me an opportunity to pray for people. There have been a lot of people over the last, you know, I guess 10 months now, where I would normally have gone and visited them. Right? I would normally have gone and seen them in person, and I would have prayed with them and even anointed them with oil, according to James. And I would have prayed for their healing, expecting that God would heal them, but not able to do that. There's limitations placed on you when the government claps you in irons and sticks you in a room. Whatever those irons look like. I hope that you spent more time praying, because that's what Paul was doing. Paul was busy. He put some serious miles on himself over his missionary journeys. He was all over, and he preferred to be with people in person. He often expressed that I wish that I could be with you. And if the Lord is willing, I will be with you. And if the Spirit hadn't prevented me, I would have been with you. He knew that he needed to minister to people in person. El Paso Bible Church recognizes that, by the way. You know, everybody has to make their own decisions in this time. But there are things that a church cannot do to fulfill what God has for them over the internet. There just are. Why is Paul giving thanks for them? Because he heard. This is a church that he ministered there multiple years. One of the longest chunks of time that he spent with any church that he planted. You say, I'm going to give thanks for you because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. What are the things you hear about in the news about churches? One church, well, here's one this week. A church down in Houston. Got some people from Houston area here. Everybody's up in all in a tizzy because one church took a payment protection grant to keep their 300 employees paid. Can imagine having 300 employees? Sounds like a massive honking headache. But if I had 300, I want them to get paid. Did you hear anything about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's not what we hear about, is it? When we hear about a church by reputation, often we hear about, that pastor got in trouble. He made some foolish decisions. Shouldn't have maybe done a little less private counseling with that person. Have some kind of a fall. Have some kind of a problem with this and that. How many times is the very first thing that you hear about when people tell you about a church, their faith in Jesus Christ? Now, we're not talking about what defines a church. A church, we've talked been over this. The church is a group of people who believe in Jesus Christ, who are permanently indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That is unique in this age, in this dispensation, right? During this time, that's us. But what does it mean that Paul is giving thanks for this church, for their faith in Jesus Christ? It means the faith by which they are walking. The faith that builds a reputation. Not simply that they became justified, that they're now going to heaven when they die, but the faith by which they lived. The things that they taught, the way that they served, the way that they loved other people. In Ephesus. And then he extends, he says, and your love for all the saints. Love is not a hallmark reality in the Bible, by the way. It's not just thinking fondly of somebody. Most of that, we joke, right, as a parent of now fewer teenagers. We finally have less than 4 teenagers in our house after many years of having 4 teenagers in our house. As a parent, you find people that are in the deepest throes of like with each other. Yes? They simply cannot rid themselves of these deep, massive emotional things, and we just call it she's your one true like, isn't she? Or he. All of mine happen to be he's. That's what masquerades as love a lot in our society. Profound like. That's not what biblical love is, by the way. You remember, right? It's not actually a wedding verse, but it gets read at almost every wedding. 1 Corinthians 13, love is this, love is that. Those are all participles. They're all verbal. Love is doing. Love is serving. Jesus even says that, right? He says that, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's the prime symptom of loving somebody is acting on their behalf and in their best interest. You don't love them if you're not doing that. It's for these things, because I've heard of them, I give thanks for you. He doesn't stop giving thanks. I do not cease giving thanks for you. As I heard of these things while sitting in chains, likely. We're actually not entirely positive which imprisonment this was. Certainly involuntary limitation on his movement. Heard of that faith in Jesus, and I've heard of the love that you have for all the saints. I heard of how you serve the people in your church and love them and meet their needs and know. And I've heard of your love for all the saints, extending that far beyond just Ephesus. Ephesus was a tough place to be. You remember in the book of Acts, that's where Paul almost made a very unwise decision. He had caused a riot in the temple of Artemis, and thousands and thousands and thousands of Ephesians were gathered around yelling, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" And it was right in the middle of that context that Paul was wanting to go out in the middle and wade into the sea of people and tell them about Jesus. And the church there said, no, let's pick another time. Tough place to be. Tough place to have that reputation of having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a shift that we're going to have to acclimate to, by the way, guys. I'm having to acclimate to it as a pastor who is, what do we call it? Non-standard. I'm non-standard. And many people's assumptions of what a pastor is supposed to be. Having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is turning into something at least less than commendable in our world. I'll tell you the kinds of things that I hear. When people find out that I'm a pastor immediately, and I don't know what happened to these people. I don't know. I don't know them. I will simply say, give my opinion on some current event, and they'll say something like, well, why don't you go back to your fairyland and tell people about your fairies that you worship in America, United States of America, they'll say. Now that I could get over. Other people say something like, well, we know that you're a pedophile because you're a pastor. You wouldn't say that in my office. Terrible thing. When people find out that you have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to understand that in Ephesus, having a reputation for having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ might have had a completely different reaction than what Paul was having. There may not have been very many people in Ephesus giving thanks that the church at Ephesus had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and walked by it, lived by it, and loved by it, and extended beyond Ephesus out to all of the saints. That they also did their best to love and serve them. So Paul wanted to make it clear, I not only give thanks once in a while, I thank God all the time for this. I give thanks to God. I can't even stop doing this. Now the picture that I get, you could take it different ways, right? Is Paul praying 24/7? No, I don't think so, because obviously he's writing Ephesians. It's hard to pray and do other things, by the way. Don't give yourself prayer credit if you're cruising Facebook, okay? Like you actually need to commit a little bit of focus to praying. And Paul is praying constantly. We know that. I mean, he's imprisoned. He's in involuntary confinement of one form or another. And he's got time to pray. And he's got lots of things to pray for. He's planted all sorts of churches. He's very busy. He knows lots of people. He's known by lots of people. But he is trying. The picture is he's trying to pray for other things. And he keeps getting interrupted by the fabulous faith walk that is taking place in Ephesus. That he cannot stop. It's a constant interruption in his life. While he's trying to pray. And he doesn't cease giving thanks for them. Because it's so beautiful what the Lord is doing through their faith and their love. That they're giving sacrificially. A friend of mine just said, and he got it from somewhere else, time, talents, and treasures. You can give any of those things and be giving sacrificially. Praying for one another, worshiping together. Just a few things that people do in the faithful body of Christ. Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. What's he praying for them for? He's thanking God. Thanking God. Man, Ephesus is serving beyond the pale. They are off the reservation with their love for all the saints and for each other. There is not a need that's not being met. It's a tremendous thing. Wonderful, beautiful picture. He has something more for them. So we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but there's a philosophy that is going out about the way church is supposed to function, and they'll say something like this. Well, if we just know how to love God and love people, then we've done enough. Then we're where Jesus wants us to be. Y'all can go home now. You just need to love God and love people. Was Ephesus doing that? Then what is Paul praying for them for? He's loving God and loving people. They love God and love people all the time. They love God and love people so much that Paul keeps getting interrupted as he's praying for other things while he's giving thanks to God for how much they're loving God and loving people. He has more. Loving God and loving people is a foundation for something else. And Paul's going to say, I'm praying for this. I'm praying, giving thanks for who you are. And by the way, I want you to know that I pray that prayer for you guys. And girls, sorry. Guys, in the rhetorical, broadest sense, you people, you humans, I thank God for the way that you love God and love people, for the faith that you have in Jesus Christ and the way you walk in it and live it out among each other. And I would encourage you, folks, because every once in a while over the last years, you'll hear of a need that didn't get met. And usually my first question is, did you tell anybody about that? Because it's so foreign to my ears at El Paso Bible Church. And they say, no, 100% of the time. If there's a way that you need to be loved and nobody knows about it, it's going to be hard to love you that way. But El Paso Bible Church, in my experience in the years that I have been the pastor here, has never let that go. Knowingly. But he has more for them. They're loving God and loving people. In America, they have achieved everything that we're expected to achieve. But they're not in America. I pray this, Paul said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him. He said, your faith and your love, your sacrificial love, sacrificial service is a foundation for something. And I'm praying that God grants it to you, Ephesus. That God would do this on this foundation, that He would build something in you, spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Is there more? Once you have learned to love God and love people, yeah. Yeah, there is. What does it mean? Spirit? Spirit is used in different ways in the Bible. Sometimes it's just used for an attitude, a spiteful spirit, right? Hypothetically, if you knew a spiteful spirit, you might call them a spiteful spirit. You don't know anybody that's spiteful, do you? No? Just wait. Right. It's like the weather in Texas. They're out there. You're going to find one. You find a spiteful person, you could call them a spiteful spirit. Sometimes it's used for the animating life force, right? Animals have spirits. Humans have spirits. It's the thing that differentiates us from a blade of grass, right? Sentience is a spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, that's the one thing it can't be here. The Holy Spirit certainly conveys wisdom. But who's He talking to? Believers in Jesus Christ? Permanently involved by the Holy Spirit, the church at Ephesus, the saints, the holy ones. It can't be that. Paul's saying to them, on this foundation of your faith walk in Jesus Christ that has caused you and provided for you to love all of the saints everywhere, this is a wonderful, beautiful foundation for which I cannot stop giving thanks to God for you for possessing it. On that platform now, I'm hoping that God grants you, I'm praying that God grants you an animating force, an attitude of wisdom. This is one of the weird things about loving people when you recognize that it's not a Hallmark thing, right? It's not just a warm fuzzy that you feel. It's not, you know, your one true like, right? When you realize that it's verbal, That you cannot love Jesus, say you that you love Jesus without obeying Jesus. There is an action involved in love. That is different, right? That is different than faith. Faith is self-evident. When you believe something, how do you know you believe it? Because I do. I believe it. I trust it. I trust it. But Jesus doesn't leave that option open when he talks about love. The Bible doesn't leave that option open when it talks about love. But today, and we're a loving church of Jesus Christ, local body, and you're to go out with a commitment as you walk out these doors to love God and love people. People in this church, the people across the street, the people of Walmart, the people of Target. Do those two ever meet? People of Walmart and the people of Target? I don't know. You're supposed to love them all. Mask or no? It's a hard one, huh? People have strong opinions on that sucker. You're supposed to love them. You walk out these doors and you commit to loving humans, which means to serve them, to seek their best interest, to act in their best interest. It will not take very long before you are confounded. You will find that I lack wisdom when I have committed to loving everyone that comes through the door, everybody that I meet when I go out the door. The simple fact is that people make such poor decisions sometimes in their lives that when they come to you and you love them to try to act in their best interest, you don't know what to do. I have no idea what to tell you to do. I'll pray for you, brother. That's an action, yes? Is it the pinnacle of wisdom? Some cases, maybe. Love God and love people. The Ephesians might have been running into a lot of people for whom they were praying. And what Paul is saying is that as you develop more and more, you can grow in the spirit of wisdom and knowing how to love those people better than that. Is that okay? You realize that we're all in process here, right? That we all need to grow in the wisdom of Christ, in the spirit of wisdom, and knowing how to love God and love people. We want to do that. Spirit of wisdom and spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Him. What is the revelation? We're studying Revelation in Sunday school. Is that the revelation? The apocalypse? No? What is the revelation? To make something that is not known, known. To reveal it. One of the key themes in Scripture. He's not talking about the book of Revelation necessarily. I don't think in this case. Are there things you don't know in here? Everybody should be nodding their head. I'm going to nod my head for you. There are things I don't know in here. I discovered one of them. It's been a long time since I had a finals week. Finals week was 10 days ago. It was rough. I had to do an oral presentation on something that I had not noticed before. And I'm the type of personality that wants to kick myself in the head for not observing something that is clearly evident in the text. And I have spent, here's the kicker, I have spent hours arguing that text with people over the last 20 years and missing the simple solution. And when I say hours, I'm talking about the pastor hours, not your normal people hours. Hours, dominion hours. Can I say that? Like, it's supposed to be 1,000 hours, but now it's 100,000 hours. Dominion hours. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. I'm going to get in trouble. We talk about what people say about pastors online. We're streaming now. Yeah, there's things that you need to know. You need to have a spirit that is seeking those things out in the Word of God. And Paul is saying, it's easy to grow weary, right? Because you can love people till you're blue in the face. You can sacrifice one until you're blue in the face. You can do it without a spirit of wisdom, which means you will spin your wheels. It makes you tired, right? Yes? No? Have you ever served to that point? I know people in this church have at different times. Served until they were exhausted. This is something Paul is saying, you faithful church who loves and serves people, who walks by faith every day and you are known for it, don't grow weary in this. In the spirit of revelation, in the knowledge of Him. Knowledge. Nous. Loving God and loving people isn't enough. That's the foundation by which we discover the things that we don't know that God wants us to know so that we can behave more wisely, love people more wisely, and serve them better. The knowledge of Him. It's common. Common to hear that that's the pinnacle of a church. And I would say it's actually cyclical. Is loving God and loving people an okay summary statement? Sure it is. Does that always look the same? No. You've got to grow in wisdom and come back and love God and love people. And then grow in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. And go back and love God and love people some more. In better and better ways. That's why Paul is giving thanks for this church. The church at Ephesus. More precise ways to do that. We never grow out of it. And we should never want to. It breaks my heart when I hear somebody tell me, y'all just study the Bible. It's not true. Is that important? Maybe God is calling to correct. I don't know. Maybe I'm not right. Breaks my heart. For one thing, for someone to say that about El Paso Bible Church is foolish and ignorant. That is not the only thing that we do. We do prioritize it. Bible is, in fact, in our name. It's on the sign. It's what we do. We love and serve people at every opportunity we get a chance to. But sometimes those words have been spit out at me over the years. As if there's ever a time in which a church is not supposed to prioritize God's revelation of Himself and His character and His purpose and His plan and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the coming future that He is bringing that is perfect. We're not supposed to want to grow out of that. Ever. Ever. It's a church that Paul gave thanks for. Beautiful thing. Loving God and loving people with the potential to continue growing in wisdom and revelation of who God is, to love God and love people until Jesus comes back for them. Beautiful thing. We're going into Christmas this next week. And we thank God for the baby, Jesus. We thank God for the grown-up, Jesus. We thank God for the risen Lord, Jesus. Because of these gifts and these wonderful things that He's given to us. Knowing that this moment we could see Him again. Be with Him in the air. A church for which Paul would give thanks. Would not cease giving thanks. Beautiful thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We do thank You for Your grace to us. We thank You that there is before us always growth. always something in which to grow, to give thanks in, and to be a church for which others give thanks. We know that's only possible through your Son, Jesus Christ, by the life that He's given to us for this purpose. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand with us? We'll dismiss with a song.
On the mountain that Jesus Christ is.